Tonight on Full Credit to the Boys, the fight of the century. Yeah. Sydney Sports set to receive a boost. And Josh Reynolds has an explosion. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, good afternoon, good evening. Full Credit to the Boys, episode 17. That's 17.5. We'll get to that in a second. But you can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. I'm Late Mailman. I'm at Late Mailman. Nice and easy. And over here to my left is former legend. He's on Twitter too, at @former_legend. Episode 17, it is, legend. Good evening.
Well, clearly it's been a big week for both you blokes. Let's just take the listeners through what you've sent me. You've sent me a message that said, come to my place, we're not recording at the usual place, come 10 minutes later than usual.
Yeah.
I get here, you're buzzy, you're twitching, you're happy. I look around, there's glow sticks, there's whistles, you got eyes like piss holes in the snow.
Yeah, yep, go on.
How was the Logies?
Yeah. I saw that tweet you did.
Yeah.
About the bucket full of white stuff arriving at the Logies.
And this red dress here, is that who I thought it was?
Well, it's not Mitchell Pearce's, because that would have been a yellow dress.
I just walked past Kerry and Kennelly at the front.
I'll tell you what, I actually saw a gallery of the Logies. We are going to get into sport just in a second, but...
We're a sporting podcast.
Let us digress for a moment. I saw a photo of Kerry and Kennelly. I didn't watch the Logies. I watched Kerry Ann Kennelly. I saw her in a photo. Jesus Christ. I don't think there's any other term for it, but she scrubs up well.
Yeah, thanks,
she
Scoop.
She scrubs up real well. Yeah. No, but I mean, like, I know. She must be 17.7 now.
Yeah, easy.
I mean, put her on the left.
Yes.
And then someone of a similar vintage like Ray Warren on the right. One... looking beautiful in a red dress, and the other one looking redder than an inflamed hemorrhoid. So, I don't know. But, yeah, Logies. Let's get on to sport. Let's do the news. All right, our first news topic this evening. The Friday night test was cancelled after an absolute... torrential downpour in Brisbane. Unprecedented. It was exceptional. Did you see some photos of that?
Did you see the photo of the submarine running through?
I did.
Very clever.
I just wonder how long it took people to realise that was a joke, like that one of the waterfall coming off the Harbour Ridge. Yeah. I had the biggest argument with someone the other day. They're like, no, it's true. It's on the council website. And I was like, good.
You're
good. Because politicians have never lied.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, that was...
It rained, didn't it?
It rained like something fierce.
Mm.
I would have put an ark in there, I think, if I'd, you know, rather than a submarine.
Yeah.
I think Noah's Ark would have been a good one for that. Yeah. Biblical.
Flipper?
Yeah. Flipper would have worked, yeah. Free Willy, even.
Flipper coming through the goalposts.
Yeah. Free Willy. Big Willy. Willy Mason. We're just playing a word association game now. In the biggest game all weekend, Australia smashed the New Zealanders.
It was a great game. And it's a great result for it. It's a great result for rugby league in Australia.
It really was. You know, all the crap you hear that goes on with rugby league, and we saw a game like this where Australia just really, you know, just knuckled down and won. It was 22-14 to the Gillaroos in the end.
Fantastic result.
It really was. The Junior Kangaroos as well, iced off the Australian weekend, didn't they? With a win over the Junior Kiwis.
That's all we can ask for. That's all we wanted.
That's exactly right.
Winning the two big games. You beauty. Gillaroos did it easy. And the Junior Kangaroos knocked over the Kiwis. What a weekend. Rugby league back on top in this nation. Australia, number one in the world. It's obvious that we are the kindergarten, the prime ground, the creme de la creme of rugby league. And sucked in New Zealand. Maybe look at another game. Rugby league mightn't be for you blokes anymore. Yeah. Wow.
Also, down in Wagga, of course, or Wagga Wagga, if you want to
terrible study.
Correct, I suppose. Country beat City 34-22 down in Wagga. Fiji beat PNG 22-10.
Mm.
And Samoa beat Tonga in the... Clive... You're the fucking lawyer in this place. You cannot call it the Toyota Tarago Shield.
Wow.
I don't care. No.
Good luck. Good luck with any dormant.
You need to turn towards the wall for the rest of the episode. Okay.
18-16, that match was.
That was a good game.
I didn't see it.
Really?
Didn't see it, no. Oh, I didn't see much footy on the weekend.
I'll give you a tip. YouTube the tackle that Cassiano and Pritchard put
good
on
start.
In the last 3 minutes to save the game. George Gregan-esque.
Really?
Yeah.
What, they shrunk by 5 foot?
Yeah, now they own coffee shops.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Just great entrepreneurialism by those guys. I'll tell you what was a bit of a sour point in the weekend, though, and I did see this in this city-country game, or the country-city game, whatever you want to call it. Josh Reynolds, this is weeks, like barely weeks after he stood in front of a whole bunch of journalists and was like, I'm going to eradicate the idiot from my game. I'm paraphrasing there, but I'm going to rub out the stupidity from my game. And then he's clearly... I think there's one of two things. Either A, he's so pumped up and so competitive that, you know, maybe he gets caught up in it a little bit.
Mm.
Or two, he's just not a smart footballer.
As the 12th man's Jack Gibson impersonation said, he's got to cut that shit from his game. And...
And also, piss off, Jack.
Two parts lunatic, one part idiot.
Yeah.
He has more brain explosions than anyone I've ever seen on the field. I like a competitor. And, I mean, I can see why he got good at kicking chairs.
Yeah. I think that's what he misses. I forgot about that.
I think he misses that. Yeah. So he was just kicking blokes that look like chairs.
But I mean, that's the second time. He did it to Ben Barber last year, remember? He got put in. He got put on report twice in a game towards the end of last year.
Was that last year or this year?
It was late last year because Barber was still playing for the Broncos at the time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He got put on report twice. He's been put on report. I saw a stat the other day. It's something like 10 times in the past year or something like that. I can't remember the stat. I saw it the other day and it would add a lot of weight to my argument if I actually remembered it.
So he got a week, I believe.
I think...
Early plea in a week.
Yeah.
And I believe
he's
all...
lucky, to be honest. The shoulder charge got dismissed. That was for the trip.
I believe all the Bulldogs fans appealed it, asked for more.
I put out a tweet the other night and I essentially said, Bulldogs fans, what do you think... I said, what do you think of the Josh Reynolds thing?
Mm.
Should he play for New South Wales? Bulldogs fans, your thoughts as well.
Mm.
Mate, every single response, and I probably got about 20,
right,
slated him. And there was probably a dozen Bulldogs fans in there as well.
Mm.
Basically, the consensus was, no, he won't play for New South Wales.
Nor should he.
And he's lucky to be playing for the Bulldogs because we want Moses Mbai to play 5'8". Well, that was from the Bulldogs fans.
Yeah, I spoke to a couple of Doggies fans myself today, and they said the same thing. They said the same thing, that Moses Mbai offers them a lot more. And believe it or not, the kid offers a bit more of a steady head, which is, fair indication of where Josh Reynolds is at.
I guess where it comes to is that, depending on which way you look at it, it makes Laurie Daly's Blues half selection either a little easier or a little harder.
I don't think Laurie's going to say too much, just in case, suspensions, whatever. So then if he says, oh, look, Maloney and Pierce is going to get the run, Reynolds is out of form, and Pierce or Maloney get injured or suspended, he's then got to go on, tail between his legs and say to Josh Reynolds, you're in.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to do that. But
the strongest mail that I've heard is it's going to be a Pierce-Hodkinson double,
which
to some people is a bit odd. But there's reasons behind it, which people will be privy to in the next few weeks. But there's a bolter in the background, and that is Blake Austin. And it's just whether, the powers that be decide that he's ready for something like this.
Because,
He's had a great start to the season, which is fantastic. Whether he makes the Origin squad remains to be seen.
He had a cracking game in Wagga.
Yeah.
A cracking game. 3 tries.
Yeah.
I just think maybe a little early.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, we've seen it. Seen it happen before to New South Wales Hards, haven't we?
I mean, they're good enough. If they're good enough, they're old enough.
Yeah.
Is the old thing. But yeah. Anyway.
Also on Sunday, God, it was like a sporting bonanza on Sunday. The fight of the century, in terms of money, in retrospect.
Yes.
Pretty much a fight just to stay awake, wasn't it? Floyd Mayweather, I think, did he just, was it like a war of attrition, or did he bore Pacquiao to death, or, you know, what happened? Unanimous points decision, Mayweather won.
Yeah, it was, well, for $137,000 a second, I believe.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Stop it.
Yeah, it was very disappointing, wasn't it?
Do you ever think about stuff like that, whatever it was, $250 million purse? Do you ever think about that and go, hey, boys, so let's call it a $249 million purse. Just give me that extra million.
Yeah.
Because you won't notice it, but Jesus, I will.
Or keep the $250 million, but let's just call it a man bag.
Or, yes, or Floyd Mayweather, take the money, but just don't be a dick the rest of your life.
Too late. Ugh. He's a serial dick. Hard man to like, massive, no matter how good
bloke
he is.
Yeah. Massive shit bloke.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, I think that that fight's been given enough air because, unfortunately, Pacquiao lost. Unfortunately, Mayweather won. And unfortunately, it was just
shit.
Sydney AFL fans had little to cheer about this week as both teams were beaten in the AFL. Swans lost to the Bulldogs by 4. While the Giants were given a bit of a reality check by West Coast in an 87-point drubbing. I went to the Swans game.
Did you?
Yeah. Which is why I didn't see a lot of foot league on the weekend. Because I was sort of... Right. I was cheating on my code, if you will. I thought, you know, I pay $1,000 to be an SCG member every year. I may as well go to one game.
And which three of our listeners did you take?
Yeah.
Awkward. Very awkward.
That was, sorry.
Clive, did you? No.
Please.
No.
As if he's getting a Guernsey, which is what they call them in AFL.
Very good.
It was a wet old afternoon. There was still 20... This is the thing, though. Yes, I know that they're one of only two teams in the city. Mate, there were 25,000 people there in the
piercing down
rain.
The Swans just... They kept coming and coming and coming, yet I think if they were still playing right now, they actually wouldn't have got past the Bulldogs.
Well, they got past once. The Swans' last goal put them in front.
And that was
it. And the Bulldogs hadn't scored for ages, but then the Bulldogs scored one, and that was all she wrote. So, there you go. In the battle of the best Australian Super Rugby Union teams, the Waratahs...
Did you get it?
Did enough. Yeah. Sorry, we just had a cockroach run through the... And it was one of those second comings. It was one that had been killed before, and... He was just like, that foot was simply just a nuclear explosion.
Solid,
you know,
solid.
Keep going. You can stay there now, champion. Back to sport. The Waratahs beat the Brumbies 13-10, which sort of made us think that perhaps we have enough...
Ability, talent?
Yeah. To run maybe where in the Super Rugby, do you think?
If you look at that result, you look at how we're travelling, we've got a good team there to win... Probably get to 7th.
Yeah.
They are...
How is Australian rugby like? Top of the world last year. Yeah, woo, yeah, we won the Super Rugby. And then everyone was just like, okay, let's take our foot off the pedal now. It's a World Cup year, let's not get excited.
I keep hoping we're going to warm to this, but I mean, yeah, anyway.
Yeah. A Mercedes won a race in the V8 Supercars in Perth, which was interesting. I believe that there was a bit of a flow-on effect back here in Sydney. So, you know how, like, when Holden and Ford win, it's, you know, traditional and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Mercedes won.
Right.
Apparently, there were riots in Mossman.
Oh, dear.
Like, unruly behaviour. People,
bipping their horns.
Yeah, like, roof surfing down Military Road and...
Throwing old bottles of Granger in.
Oh, mate, the Oaks was just... It was, like... Oh, it was unbelievable. You should have seen it. I saw CCTV vision, which was released by the police the other day.
They're crazy, them kids down at Mossman.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of cash bonanzas and, you know, windfalls and all that sort of stuff, we were talking about Mossman after all that and Mercedes. Sydney Sport is set to receive a $1.3 billion boost.
Is that all?
As a news. God, that's many dollars. That's many, many dollars. As a new 65,000-seat stadium is to be built in Moore Park. This is news to me, Clive. Did you add this to the rundown after I'd
perused?
Proofread the first one to get out your mistakes. So there's going to be a new 65,000-seat stadium built in Moore Park, a proposal to, and a 35,000-seat stadium in Parramatta.
Yes.
That sounds eerily familiar. Like, that kind of sounds like existing stadiums with, like, GST added to them.
And I don't get it.
Extra 10% on each stadium.
I actually don't get it.
Yeah, so there's no money for ANZ. Allianz is to be knocked down and replaced with this, you know, multi-sporting mecca.
Let me walk through this.
It sounds like they're going to try to build another ANZ in Moore Park.
Why?
I don't know.
First of all, let's get to it, right? I like Allianz Stadium.
To complement that $6 trillion walkway that they're building to go across Anzac Parade.
Mate, that's like the Great Wall of China, watching that thing get built every week.
Yeah, except there's no Mongolians trying to run through.
I think you can see it from space, but no one's walking on it still.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to knock down Allianz, which I think's a shame.
I love Allianz.
Same.
Great stadium,
yeah.
Can't say the sponsor's name, but I do like the Sydney Football Stadium.
They're going to build a 65,000-seat stadium next door to where Allianz is now.
Next door, as in like on Moore Park Road?
Right, Driver Avenue on the other side.
Oh, right. Yeah. I thought you meant literally on Moore Park Road.
No. Stick with me.
Cutting out the Olympic Hotel there.
And they're going to build a 35,000-seat stadium at Parramatta, which I get.
Yeah.
But when you consider that 40% of Sydney's population lives southwest now of Sydney.
Mm.
Why?
What are you saying? Develop Campbelltown or something?
Well, not Campbelltown. I mean, aren't they building an airport out towards somewhere or something?
Badgeries.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. Why knock down what works well?
I just think Allianz Stadium has the best rugby league atmosphere of the big grounds around.
I agree.
I mean, obviously, you know, Yulang Park, Suncorp Stadium is reputed to be the best atmosphere of any rugby league ground in the world, to be honest. But I mean, Allianz goes pretty well for itself, so that's a shame. And our final news topic for this week.
Don't worry about this. I don't think anyone cares.
Oh, well, it's just a small story. But
it's just three, four viewers.
It's a bit
listeners.
It's a bit niche for most rugby league fans. But there was that test match on Sunday. Was it a test or was it just a friendly?
I don't know.
Where the Kiwis beat the Kangaroos in a game 26-12. So,
moving on.
Substitute time. the Kiwis. Speaking of which. The Kiwis, bit of background on this one. Substitute is where we throw out a sentence, a topical sentence in sport, leave a blank at the end of it, and we get a little bit creative and come up with some responses to it. So the first one is the Kiwis win over Australia in their last three meetings is blank.
You want to go first or you want me to?
No, you can go first.
Choice, bro.
Yeah, good. I like it.
I actually think it's good for rugby league.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh, absolutely, it is. It's a. It looks like the ledge is being leveled somewhat.
Yeah, it's good in a way too that we're not playing testing out or how much will we win by.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and it also goes to show that the Slater, Kronk, Smith, Thurston thing
dynasty
is
aging.
It's being blunted, you know.
So what did you get?
So to that end, the Kiwis win over Australia in their last three meetings is. I went with revolutionary because what I was trying to get to was that, you know, it's a bit of a changing of the guards and we're seeing something of a rugby league revolution. Maybe evolution is the word.
Evolution.
There you go.
Now, before we go on, I got to say that a few of my answers, because obviously we get these before we start, are more than one word.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
As long as you just don't write a novel at the end of it, it's fine.
This is awkward.
Yeah. When picking the 6 and 7 for New South Wales, Laurie Daly should blank.
What did you say?
Play darts.
I wrote pray.
Yeah.
Pray
darts.
Yeah. Or drink.
So basically, I'm saying he puts a bunch of New South Wales halves around a dartboard, closes his eyes, does his best.
Has a crack.
Come out with a 6 and 7 on the other side. Mm. I don't think it's doom and gloom by any stretch.
Mm.
I just think...
Well, it wasn't last year.
No. I mean, everyone sort of said, wow, Hodgkinson and Reynolds, mortgage on it for da, 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 da. But they didn't actually... They all played well in the first... Like, the whole New South Wales team played well in that first game.
Yep.
But the halves didn't set the world on fire in those final two games by any stretch of the imagination. So
when I said pray, I kind of meant pray that a couple of injuries might strike the Queenslanders down.
Yeah.
Past
Thurston. Well, we know that Jonathan Thurston isn't going to miss an Origin game. He hasn't missed one for like 10 years or something like that. Even though he's done an ACL somewhere in between there. Did it in the final game. So he was like, I'll be sweet for next year.
Controversial.
Don't even worry. After the Poms got beaten by the Windies this week, we're talking cricket now, the Australian cricket team will go to the Ashes blank.
Drunk.
Good. Led by Andrew Simons. I was going to say cocky, but we've already seen that. Did you hear, of all people, you remember how Matthew Hayden and Glenn McGrath and Shane Warne and that, they come out before a series and just they were that good. They'd all just say, this is what's going to happen this series.
Yes.
We're going to win. Not
5-0.
Not are we going to win. It's by how much are we going to win.
Yeah.
And this is the batsman I'm going to get out 10,000 times, and et cetera, et cetera. Steve Smith. That little kid from down the street.
Lovable kid.
Came out. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's
absolutely.
If he was a Pommy, we'd hate him.
Well, he's essentially Australia's Joe Root, isn't he?
Well, geez, that's harsh. Yeah. I don't think Warner's going to smash Smitty anytime soon.
No, well, he's come out and basically said, England are going to do it tough. You know, again, I'm paraphrasing. He's gone out and said,
thanks, Scoop.
Geez, you guys are up against it.
Yeah. Did you see he retired today?
Trot.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a shame because I thought his 12 runs average might have been valuable at some stage.
Hasn't he only been back for about 5 minutes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Cricket's not for him, apparently.
Mm.
Yeah.
The NRL Footy Show have won another Logie. Proves that Australians are...
You go first.
Got to be careful with this one. The NRL Footy Show has won another Logie and it proves that Australians are, I'm going to say, coming around to rugby league, because the AFL Footy Show, like, I mean, it's sort of gone back and forth a little bit, but the AFL Footy Show, I think, if you looked back, have won that more and probably deserved to win it more.
I think NRL might be leading now.
Maybe they are. Yeah. Maybe they are. Maybe I'm just saying that the AFL Footy Show deserve it more because it's perhaps a better representation of the sport that it is talking about. Is that a nice diplomatic way to say it?
I hear what you're saying. You're saying that they talk about AFL more than Rugby League Show talks about Rugby League.
Yeah.
Okay. I wrote, the NRL Footy Show winning another Logie proves that Australians are fans of Avon Sampson.
Good.
Thank you and good
night. Good, yes. Yeah, we should probably just wrap that up for the week now then.
I'm not going to get any better than that.
That was very good. I'm very impressed. At Yvonne Sampson, can we still say she's our favourite guest? Because we had former NRL official Luke Potter on last week.
Well, we'll get
so
to
we've him. Now had two. We'll our favourite female guests that we've had here on Full Credit to the Boys podcast.
So far.
Yeah.
In the first whatever episodes we're up to.
Yeah, Clive. Well, it I think it's 17.
Yes.
Our rundown saying 16 would suggest otherwise.
Full credit to the boys' very own Yvonne Sampson.
Very good. We almost patented that when we spoke to her on the phone, didn't we?
Yes.
Just at the tail end of the
conversation. I think we signed her up.
I think we might have actually asked her after we'd hung up just so that she couldn't say no.
Yeah.
Our final substitute this evening, people who paid $80,000 to be at the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight are...
You go first.
Numpties.
Well, it's easy said now.
Mm.
I wrote...
No, I would have said that anyway in the first place. $80,000. Again, guys, just pay for the $70,000 seats. Give me 10 grand.
People who paid $80,000 to beat the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight are rappers or selling drugs.
Yeah. Did you see...
And they're not mutually exclusive,
let's be honest. Did you see some of the photos going around... No.
I'm going to say something very controversial here before you go on. Beyonce, fair sort.
Is that controversial?
Scoop, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were saying?
The Las Vegas airport.
Oh, the planes.
The private jets. It was literally like a Westfield car park.
Yeah.
For private jets.
Yeah.
If you had a chance, go onto Twitter and search something around the lines of Las Vegas airport, hashtag MAPAC, and you'll find a couple of photos of just these pretty pissy little jets, to be honest.
And when Hoodie means it,
or something like that.
When Hoodie says it looks like the Westfield car park, what he means is all the women were backing into each other in those planes.
Yeah, they were literally wing to wing. Like it was unbelievable. People who'd flown in, Reggie Miller had flown. I think he calls his flight the SS Reggie Miller or something like that. And he was just standing there on the tarmac in front of his plane.
Did Payne Stewart fly in?
Oh, too much money. Wow. You just dropped.
John Denver? Did he not?
I think Lisa Left Eye Lopez was on one of them too.
While
we're dulling the tone a little bit.
Sure, from Sherbet. Or?
Get off the fence time. This is basically where we throw out another sporting statement from the week. There's no fence sitting allowed. I think probably if one of us fence sits more than the other, probably myself.
MH370.
But not in this segment. Get off the fence. Who do you choose?
Amelia Earhart.
Manly determined to keep Daily Cherry Evans, so says Buzz Rothfield.
I'm killing myself.
I know you are. Just a one-man show and a one-man audience.
Oh, I'm crying.
One of the best. Yes. And by best, I mean worst. So Manly are determined to keep Daily Cherry Evans, so says Buzz Rothfield, with 39 days to go. 39 or 40, whatever you want to say. June 30. Will he be at the Titans or the Seagulls? Get off the fence.
I'm going to say, mate, it's got to be a slow news week. Because this is, how many times? Usually I've been saying Daily Cherry Evans and his management are guilty of trying to milk the media here. This is just Buzz Rothfield with nothing else to write about, I'm sure. He goes to Bob Fulton, who will give you a quote any time, day or night. He gets a few things said.
And or Peter Peters.
Speculates, yada, yada, yada. Oh, it's back on the table again. I just don't think it's going anywhere. I think the sooner June 30 comes around, we just forget about this. He's going, mate. He's gone. Forget it.
So to that end, where is he going to be?
Titans.
Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Manly are quietly panicking. And they're realising that half after half are falling off the wagon around the place.
Mm.
The crops are lessening.
Mm.
They're going to have to do something. If not in Cherry Evans' ear, then someone else who's signed somewhere like Caesar or, you know, get Elgie to backflip on his backflip again.
Cliff Lyons.
It's just like calisthenics, isn't it?
Cliff Lyons.
Mate, Cliff is probably just still on this side of 50.
Don't rule him out.
He's probably not, but he would go around. I'm going to say that just by some freak of nature, Manly will come up with an 11th hour Hail Mary.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
By the way, Adam Goods played on the weekend.
He did.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did I say that? You
said he wouldn't. Yeah. Anyway, move on.
Kicked the first goal of the game as well.
Did he?
Champion. Yeah, ooh. After about 2 seconds.
What was that pain?
Our second one. Get off the fence. Equal competition leaders, Dragons and the Broncos. Who will finish higher? Go.
Broncos.
Dragons. Only because you said Broncos.
Yeah.
But I've got a reason for it.
I'm not sold on the Dragons. I mean, I know they... I just think you're going to get found out in an attack when they need to score points. Then again, I said that the year they won the comp, so...
Well, mate, they won the comp by not scoring too many points. Now Broncos have got that affliction. It's called Wayne Bennett. Mind you, they've been able to score a few points.
Do you think
points.
It's any coincidence that St. George are playing the Wayne Bennett style? Wayne Bennett is obviously coaching the Wayne Bennett style of the Broncos, and that's your 1-2. This year, defence is being rewarded.
Yeah. I don't mind the draft. I feel like they're just solid grinders. The question is whether they can maintain it for another, whatever we got, 16 rounds to go, 17 rounds to go. Yeah, I'd like to think the Dragons will finish above. I think they're due for a decent season.
They're due.
The Broncos are too. But I'm going to say the Dragons just because disagreements.
Good.
The third one.
The New South Wales number 6. If you had to choose between Blake Austin or James Maloney?
Blake Austin every day of the week. That's
really?
I know we've said that he's a bit raw, maybe not ready, all that sort of stuff, which I tend to agree with, to be honest. But if you're making me choose, I don't believe James Maloney belongs in rep football above the level of City Country. I just don't.
Yeah, you know what?
I just don't.
I'd run Maloney. And because I just think maybe 1 year too early for Blake Austin. I think he needs to put a few more runs on the board.
Well, that's what they said about Adam Reynolds. And now when his time's come,
we miss him. But what I'd say is if we happen to lose that first game, straight in. See you later, Maloney.
They've just... there's been so much said about pick and stick and choose some guys and stay solid and all that sort of stuff. I just wonder whether if the first game goes pear-shaped, there are going to be changes. And I feel like there's going to be
panic changes. Lost. Panic changes, yeah.
No. I think there's going to be... They're going to face the dilemma of losing face if they are going to make changes after game one, and that in itself is a dilemma. I like the way Blake Austin plays. He doesn't kick goals. James Maloney does.
Bad haircut.
Just bad head.
Yeah,
I'm going to take that one step further. I remember reading when he first cracked first grade with the Tigers, and his old man, who clearly has a good brain inside his head. Had told him to sort his haircut out, sort his brain out, because you can't play footy looking like a hipster. And he shaved his head off. Shaved his hair off. And he played awesome. But then he's moved to Canberra and he's gotten like the swish across haircut. And again, he's got this like a genuine goatee. Like he genuinely looks like a stylish mountain goat.
That is a fairly good comparison. I like that.
I could see him halfway up Black Mountain in Canberra with a yodeler next to him.
So racist.
That guy from The Price is
so
Right.
So racist.
Is it not called Black Mountain anymore? I'm sure it used to be.
Right.
Anyway. You want to do number four?
Yes, I do. Which one? That's the point. Who do you choose out of these Cougars? Sandra Sully, Carrie Bickmore, or Asher Keddie?
Now, I've got to point out a discrepancy here.
Right.
You realise that Carrie Bickmore and Asher Keddie are really fairly young still compared to Sandra Sully.
Yes.
And with due respect to Sandra, because I love her. She's an absolutely wonderful person.
What I'll say is
facts
that
remain.
When you compare those three to the cast of Home and Away that stood on stage at the Logies, we'll call them Cougars for the sake of the argument, if nothing else.
You know what? Oh, God, who am I going to go with? I'm going to go with Asher Keddie. I don't know why.
Bang.
I don't know why. Because that character she plays in that show that she's on. What's the show called? Offspring.
Yeah, it's hard to say without knowing.
I've seen that show from time to time, just in passing. Genuinely in passing. She's a lunatic. And unfortunately, that's all I've got to go off. But I'm thinking that she's maybe one of those lunatics.
I know what you're saying.
Okay, you?
Firecracker. That's what you're saying, aren't you?
You?
Carrie Bickmore every day.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd kill you.
Okay. Did you put them in there together because they kind of are the same person?
Yeah.
Carrie Bickmore and Asher Keddie?
I don't know.
Like they're fair dinkum, very similar. Both work on Channel 10. Programs. Yes, bizarre.
Right.
Overs or unders time. Now, this is where we throw out a bit of a radical market, the sort of thing that Sporting Bet and all those guys would be...
They dream about
champion those ones. ..the bit to get on their markets, but they can't because they're ridiculous most of the time. So we throw the market out, put out some odds, and see how we go. Overs or unders, first one. How many forwards will win a Dally M in the next 10 years? Over or under one?
You go first.
That's an interesting one. Because I remember looking into this last year, and I think that Cameron Smith is the only forward to have won one.
And he's probably not going to win another one, let's be honest.
In the last 10-ish, 15-ish years. And even beyond that, there are very few. To be honest, there's very few outside of friggin' halves. Or fullbacks.
The Brownlow has the same problem.
I'd love to see a winger win the WM.
Let's be honest.
If Kevin
DeGarma
continues...
You want to see Joel Reddy win one. You don't want to see a winger.
Bloody love to see Joel Reddy win a Dally M.
It's going to be a special turnaround, I'll tell you now.
He just needs to keep playing outside someone really good, like Dylan Walker or something. And
he's outside one of the best backlines.
I was looking through either... There was his Instagram or Twitter feed today. I was looking at his photos. And he just...
Stalking.
Just bloody loves... being part of the Rabbitohs. He just is riding those coattails. He's like Turtle out of Entourage, where he just all the other boys are just killing the world and he's just there honestly picking up the scraps, and I love it.
I was going to say, I think he's generally fearful of being dumped. That's why he's so...
I love him for it. So to that end...
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to... Can I say one?
Okay.
So I mean, we still kind of need to say over or under 1.5, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm going to say one. I'm going to say that someone's going to get in there. I reckon the NRL at some point is going to go, shit, we really could do with a prop winning it.
Well, I'll tell you something.
Jesse Bromwich. I'll tell you something. There's the one who's going to win it. Or Aaron Woods. He's leading at the moment.
You're not thinking, mate. You're not thinking. How many forwards will win a Dally M in the next 10 years? Answer is, one forward will win it twice. That man, Sam Burgess. Thank you very much. Channel 9 will get him over the line.
Sponsoring that one?
Yes.
Yes, good. Number two, how many more games will Tim Sheens coach Australia for, over or under one?
Is this the most obvious one we've ever done?
It's got to be under one, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's been there since Ricky Stewart abused the referee and got thrown out on his bum.
Good times.
Which was the end of 2008.
Mm.
So that's 4.5 years.
Mm.
He's done all right in time. Loses every tournament.
Ashley Klein, was it, that he abused?
I couldn't tell you. Wasn't Luke Potter, though.
Mm. No, not Luke Potter. Full credit to the boys' very own.
I don't think there's any end-of-year test matches this year.
There isn't.
So...
he's cooked.
Yeah. He's got to hang on for another year.
Put a fork in him.
Bloody hell, that's a good year's work. One game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people say Origin coaches have got a good weather. They only got three games.
How did he get himself up for it, do you reckon, Hoodie?
Oh, Jesus.
It's a good effort.
He's probably still being paid by the Tigers, too. So he's just got incomes coming out everywhere.
No comment.
Number three, new NRL media rights deal negotiations begin for 2018. Serious?
Yeah.
We're only in like the second year of this deal.
This is a smart play, but get in before AFL get in. That's what happened last time.
Yeah, the
and it cost
bar
them.
Was raised and they paid overs. And it cost them,
yeah.
That's right. Okay, over or under $1.5 billion.
Mm. Mine's a segmented answer.
I'm going to say over, just cause.
Okay.
Because I mean, I think they got 1.2,
1.1 or something. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
It was north of one.
Yes. They're looking at 1.5. That's what they're searching for.
I reckon they'll get overs.
I'm going to say overs on two conditions.
Okay.
More than the 16 current teams.
Yep.
And if they split the package up, Origin is up for bids. So is the...
yeah. Yeah, there's talk of, I think it's 7 wanting to go hard for Origin.
Well, from what I read today, it ain't going to be 10.
You know what?
They're in trouble.
Yeah, they're always in trouble. They should never have let the game plan go, that's why.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Best new unidentified talent.
You know what the best thing about the Origin being on, thank you, on Channel 7 could be? Is that there'd be no My Kitchen Rules for 3 weeks. Or for 3 Wednesdays.
Hasn't
anyway.
That got some legs, that show? That just goes and goes.
Oh, fair thing. I don't watch it.
Started before Christmas.
I was on Twitter today and it was like, so-and-so won My Kitchen Rules last night. I was like, really? What?
Still going.
There was a final last night?
Oh,
and then they'll do something where they just bring them all back and hey, we'll just do like a round two and there'll be another winner in 2 weeks.
It's got some legs, that show.
Spare me. How many debutants for New South Wales in Game 1 this year?
I like this one.
Did we not do this recently or did we just maybe just toss it around?
We tossed it around.
Over or under 3?
Over.
Okay, who are the ones you're thinking of?
Moylan, off the bench.
Off the bench?
Yes.
Is that? Have you had a tip-off?
He can play 1, 6, 7, or possibly anywhere between
I'm not
1
sure
and
about
1.
This. I'm not sure about this, this seeming need to have a utility on the bench.
Hmm.
They kind of seem to be
what,
token.
4 forwards, you reckon?
Yeah, because they seem to be quite token by the end of the game. Like, it's sort of like they either don't get any minutes or they get 14 minutes just cause.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But with that in mind, I hate it when we get an injury in between the 1 and the 7. And
yeah.
We look at our bench and there's nothing there. So I'm going to say Moylan.
Okay.
I'm going to say Alex Johnson, playing for Australia. I think he's a walk-up start.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
Who... I didn't realise until today he hadn't actually played in Origin. It seems like he should have.
No.
And...
he only debuted for Australia like late last year, I think.
Lunatic Clemmer.
Yeah.
So that's 4.
I tell you what, I tend to agree, to be honest. And then, hey, there might even be someone else like a Dylan Walker in the centres. Who knows?
Isn't it could he busted?
Be,
he's busted.
Oh, yeah. But no one's writing anyone off at the moment.
True.
So. Phil Gould last night... I think he's Gus10Gould is his Twitter handle, at Gus10Gould. Big prop forward he was. I know he wasn't.
I got a crack and Phil Gould story. We'll tell another time.
His Twitter feed from last night, go back and have a look at it if you can. He more or less intimated at his New South Wales team, and his bench was strong. He had
Fifita.
He had Fifita on the bench. Clemmer on the bench.
Yes.
He had, I want to say, Josh Jackson on the bench. He had Woods, Tamo. So his forwards were Woods, Tamo, Clemmer, Jackson, Scott, and someone else, Cordner. He just had it was a good rotation of forwards. That in addition to a few, you know, obvious suggestions toward the back as well. He basically said that Robbie Farah was about the only certainty in that team. And when you think about it, he's probably right.
Especially if we need a captain, because it looks like Gallen.
Oh, did you hear all that nonsense the other day about, oh my God, Gallen's going to be out for Origin. Who will captain the side? Well, here's a tip. Robbie Farah did it like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Did a great job.
Yeah.
Who else in the world? And then like, oh, well, yeah, maybe Greg Bird will be captain.
Well, he's out.
Really?
He's appealing his sentence tomorrow. Yeah,
but he's fairing him lucky enough to be even playing in the NRL.
Yeah,
at the moment.
I agree.
He's not a New South Wales captain. He's not a New South Wales captain's. Move on. Last one. Over or under. The number of Australians really excited by the royal baby. The over under is the number 10.
Oh, it's walk up start of unders, isn't it?
No, I think it's easy overs.
Really?
It'd be like 12. Definitely like.
You reckon you get 12 out of
it? Yeah, maybe even 13.
Yeah, I suppose people buy that new idea or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They'd have written the story 3 weeks ago. They just had to insert the name.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
Weekly Full Credit to the Boys Awards. This is where we trawl through our Twitter feeds. Look at all the favourites that we've done this week. Basically, that's my method anyway.
My tip for the name, Chastity, nothing.
I thought LaSquisha was going to be a good one. But yeah.
Lexus, Porsche.
Yeah. Anything. Mercedes. Just at least they can afford that if they call their kid Mercedes.
Chappelle.
Yeah. So Weekly Full Credit to the Boys Awards. We like seeing clever prose out there on Twitter. Good writing, basically, if you want to put it into formal legends language. So we cut up into two categories, amateur and celebrity.
Mm.
Would you like to go first?
Yeah, well, because I've got... I couldn't split these two and it was about the same thing. The Billy Dib fight that was on instead of or after or before.
Well, that was weird, the way that happened. Was it always going to be on the Friday night?
Yes.
Was it always going to be televised?
Yes.
Was delayed it going to, or was it going to be on Jen?
Clearly it was going to be delayed and they've gone straight to live because they had no footy to fill it with.
Yeah.
So that was the whole thing. So the first one was from at Don't Poke Panda.
Never poke panda.
Yeah. And,
ever.
And he/she wrote, Dib fight could have been halftime entertainment in Anzac Test and still time for Gus to waffle on.
Yeah.
Because that was over
didn't
quick.
Last long, right?
No.
That's a shame. He's a very nice looking young lad, isn't he, Billy Dib?
Yeah.
Which makes me think...
Short of the St. George shorts.
Yeah. It makes me think that's why the fight didn't go for that long.
And the other one, which was also about the Dib fight, was... And this guy actually included Billy Dib into the tweet.
Right.
Which is always fraught with danger. Was from at FMD0277.
Yeah.
Which is ironically your PIN number, isn't it?
Close.
Right. Who wrote... I think at Billy Dib should be universally applauded for ending Hadley early. # thanks, Billy.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good. My amateur this week is from at PoleDog27. He tweets us that often.
He's regular.
It's like one of those things. You shoot 10 times, you're going to hit at least one or two of them. And he did bloody well this week. At PoleDog27 sent a screenshot. And he wrote, classic Bush Rugby League fundraising. And it's a Facebook post that he screenshot and put on there. And it's from a guy called Patrick Daly to the Mackay Brothers. It says, a friend of mine is hosting a fundraiser tonight and needs some lads to do some topless waiter work for an all-female party. They will supply drinks and a good time. Inbox me if you're keen, lads. Good. It is bloody good Bush Rugby League. He did spell your incorrectly, but...
Yeah, that's unfortunate, isn't it?
Your celeb.
Mike Tyson.
Okay, that's about as celeb as they get.
So let's not bag him.
Here on Full Credit to the Boys. Yeah, yeah. And don't steal his tiger.
No. Yeah. And don't mention the tat on the face. Maypac fight, # at Maypac.
Yep.
And it's so simple, but it's so true. We waited 5 years for that, .. # underwhelmed.
Yeah.
103,000 retweets or something along those lines.
Yeah, hoodie. That's exceptional. People waited a long time for Holyfield Tyson.
Mm.
wasn't boring, but then this fight on the weekend didn't end with someone's ear being spat into the crowd.
Yeah.
So, anyway, just you're in a big fat glass house there, Iron Mike. My celeb this week, Andrew Voss, at Andrew Vossi.
Champion.
Who, I tell you what, he's one of those guys I didn't always rate him as, you know, a very good commentator and all that sort of...
Really?
Never thought he was bad or anything.
Yeah.
But I just was like, oh yeah, he's all right.
Vanilla.
But then he disappeared and we were left with what we were left with. He's a hell of a good commentator.
At Tim Gilbert.
He's a hell of a good commentator.
Hashtag and Ray Hadley.
We are poorer for having him on our screens, calling our games less at the moment. At Andrew Vossi says, I like my cricket. Don't need any more T20. Paying the players more doesn't make the game better or make me want to watch. IPL, CA Comms, SMH.
And explain to everyone what that's about.
So basically, another bunch of rich Indians have come along and said, we're going to make another big rich tournament. David Warner and Michael Clarke, we're going to poach you. So it's basically like kind of like World Series cricket in a way. They're starting by trying to get a few big names and then they're going to try to poach everyone else from there and create their own tournament, whether it be instead of the IPL, whether it be in addition to it. The long and the short of it is, from what I understand, is it's going to be more T20 cricket in one way or another. And that, to me, is shit. I mean, good for the bank accounts of said players, but...
I understand the people behind this were the ones behind the last Indian Premier League, not the IPL, the other... cricket 2020 that fell over and left owing lots of people lots of money, Jimmy Marr included.
Bless Jimmy Marr.
So why would you get into bed with that?
I can't get on board with it, I'm afraid. There's too much T20 cricket at the moment. We both, I think, universally loved the Big Bash over the summer.
Great.
But I just think it's really diluting the game of cricket. I'm not the first to say that, but is what I believe. Twitter challenge time. This is where we've given each other an assignment. Get on Twitter. Former legend. He's at @former_legend. He has to get a reply
and
a follow from Sally Fitzgibbons, who can be found at @Sally_Fitz. In turn, I have to get a reply and a follow from Shane Warne.
Yes.
No mean feat, it seems. Each week we send him a tweet, you know, just trying to, you know, grease the chain a little bit, whatever you want to say. Couple of things this week before we get too far into it. One, you've got a bit more news. Cool, we'll get to that in a sec.
Oh.
Two, little bit of a sabotage this afternoon.
I disagree.
In addition to a few of my other followers as well.
You led with your chin.
I don't know. I just wanted a reply from him. Instead, I got replies from pretty much every other tweeter, not him. Anyway, so, go on.
I got another favourite from Sally Fitz.
Hoodie. Yeah.
Can you feel it?
I'm getting bored. I'm getting bored of it.
However, I don't think she favoured... I tweeted it twice this week.
Yeah.
Nothing. Duck egg. And she has been on Twitter since, so I think she's just brushed me. Or the person who looks after her Twitter accounts brushed me. More to the point.
Yeah.
So this week I had two cracks. The first one, I put up a photo of Trent Merrin's footy card from this year.
Yeah.
And also my photo...
How many packs did you have to buy to get that?
Long story, I got that, but it's not that interesting. And the other one...
Still sponsored by Scanlon's?
No.
Stimerol?
No. Peter Stuyvesant. No. So I wrote, and I put up a photo of my footy card.
Yep.
And I wrote, hi, @SallyFitz, which footy card would you prefer? Hashtag obvious choice. Nothing.
Nothing. Good.
Nothing. Lots of, interaction, but nothing from her. And then the second one, I thought this might have tickled the old...
Oh, you've done some hedge betting here.
Yeah. You see what I've done?
Yeah.
You can see my plan. My plan was to include... Aaron Mullen and Yvonne Sampson, who seem to be quite friendly with Sally.
Yeah.
And so I wrote to the Royal Palace.
Yes.
As you do. And said, hi, @Kensington Royal. A couple of name suggestions for you for the princess. Princess Sally, Princess Yvonne, Princess Aaron. And then I put @Aaron Mullen, @Yvonne Sampson, @Sally Fitz.
And?
One favourite.
From?
Full credit to the boy's very own.
Really?
Yeah.
Just Vonnie.
Just Vonnie.
Wow.
And I think that might have just been a, oh yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, just
one of those favourites.
Acknowledge it. Yeah, lazy. Speaking of lazy, the response from Shane Warne to my tweet this week.
Did he respond?
All right, at Shane Warne, you champion. Thought I'd, you know, suck up to him a little bit.
Shit start.
At Shane Warne, you champion. We play a game on full, at FCTTB underscore podcast where we fill in the blank. So, then I had a caption. In this photo, I am blank. And I put a photo of him. Oh, God, I'd have to say circa 91, 92. God, it could even be earlier, to be honest.
How rough does he look?
He looks about 18. He's got a little dab of zinc on the nose. He's got a few pimples around the mouth. At least I think they're pimples. I hope they're nothing else. He wasn't into that stuff.
No.
Anyway.
One of your followers wrote a great response.
In this photo, I am. A few responses. I'll get to them in a sec. One from at former underscore legend. Champion. Trying to get the role on Underbelly as Carl Williams.
You owe us beer.
Yeah, sorry about that. Trying to get the role on Underbelly as Carl Williams. To which David Belcher replied, geez, that goes pretty close to Sabotage legend. I tend to agree. Some other good responses. From a couple of people, we had someone. We said, okay, so it was we play a game on at FCTTB underscore podcast where we fill in the blanks. So in this photo, I am, and we had someone indicating that perhaps he had had to clean bird poo off his nose. It's good. Another fellow said, I've seen him once, and the white stuff was under his nose. Lol. Yeah,
and he included him in that. That
yeah,
was.
I know.
You talk about sabotage.
Yeah.
That, my friend, was going to cost you every time.
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah. A few meaningless retweets and favourites and all that sort of stuff. When all it comes down to it, Warney wasn't there. So
nah, nothing.
That's what it was. Boy Sack, mail and feedback from you guys. We threatened strike action last week.
And in the Aussie tradition, it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, sucked in all you.
Join the union.
Yeah, good. Few more five-star reviews and feedbacks and all that sort of stuff on iTunes.
Yeah.
Is that the right words, Clive? Feedbacks and podcast reviews? Is that right? Good.
Yeah.
So, get onto iTunes, please, when you get the chance. If you're enjoying, I don't want to implore you to do something that you don't want to do, but if you have a moment, get onto iTunes, search Full Credit to the Boys, and leave a review there in the review section.
So just swipe quickly.
Across to five stars.
Thank you to these people.
Yep.
From what I can tell, anyway. Mr. or M-R-A-D-L-O-F-F, Radloff, M. Radloff, I say that's who it is, five-star review,
Adloff.
Mr. Radloff, yeah, Rower23, five-star review, thank you very much, Lockie Potts with a Z,
yeah, mm-hmm. Sounds interesting, interesting,
sounds vaguely familiar, thank you, Lockie, and from Dinger07, my grandmother loves this show.
Wow.
Yes.
How good. Oh, what about old mate who goes, where's the 4.5 stars? And I was like, oh, oh
jeez,
yeah,
that's a bit
cheeky.
Harsh.
We also want to throw out a few thanks to a few people for the positive feedback on the Luke Potter interview. Had a lot of good fun talking about not the off field stuff, but the other side of the fence, if you will, with
the whistle,
the NRL officials.
Yeah.
Last week, if you want to check that out, that was last week's podcast. You can download that, or you can subscribe, and it'll just show up on your phone. We also want to, because we do this thing, we play iPhone roulette. That's how we select our guests to have a chat with.
Mm.
First one was Yvonne Sampson. Second one was Luke Potter. If you want to suggest some people, then tag them in a tweet to us. Say, hey, at Shane Warne, do you want to be on? At FCTTB underscore podcast.
Not the best example.
Try it. Just try it. I'll take anything. But no, we'd love to see who you would like to be on this podcast as part of iPhone Roulette. A few Full Credit to the Boys mentions in a few different ways over the last few days. So we'll get to the big bonanza one that happened on the radio the other day. In a moment. Last night I was watching this show called Sports Fan Clubhouse. Have you ever seen that one?
Sometimes I watch it when I can't sleep.
Yeah.
And that's not because it puts me to sleep. It's just that
it's because it's on really late.
Yeah, which I don't get. It's not a bad show.
It's later than that. You remember Sports Tonight used to always just show up at some stage between 10:30 and 11:30 every night?
Well, sometimes 10:30 and 2:30.
Yeah. But anyway, this one shows up around midnight or something on a Monday. Anyway, Ted Richards from the Swans was on there.
Right.
He came up with two, count them, two in the space of a couple of minutes. Have a listen.
But yeah, so full credit to the Dogs for the brand of football they've played. They're 4-1, and yeah, full credit to the Dockers and the Eagles that do it every second week.
Teddy Richards, you legend. How good? How good?
Double banger. A double yoker.
Oh yeah, very good.
Is he on Twitter?
He is. I think he's at Ted Richards 25. Good work, champion.
Hmm.
And Matilda's footballer, women's footballer, Kaya Simon.
Right.
She was on there too. She gave her full credit to the girls.
Yes.
Have a listen.
Solid.
I'm happy to be back into the squad now, right in time for the World Cup. And all credit to the girls, obviously, for qualifying last year.
That was three in the space of like 10 minutes. I could not get the IQ rewinding quick enough.
Bang.
We also had one of our favourite tweeters. He's got to be up there, right? I mean, he's in the full credit to the Boys Hall of Fame already.
Well, he's tweeted us tonight. Let's talk about what he's done this week before we get to where we...
We speak of at BJ O'Rosenberg. His name's James Rosenberg. He's a proofreader and a market commentator on the side. And when we say market commentator, we don't mean Queen Victoria markets in Melbourne.
No.
We mean like stock market, like real grown-up stuff.
Yeah.
Really big boys stuff.
I think too, he could be edging on insanity.
Well... If you listen to this week's mention, which, mind you, we jokingly suggested to him...
Never thinking it would happen.
Just get our names in there.
Yeah.
Former legend and late mailman. And well...
And not only did he go, oh, I don't know about that. Straight away, 2 seconds later, I'm in.
Yeah. And it wasn't like, oh, I'll get it done in the next few weeks. He was like, I'll get it done in time for next week's podcast. Have a listen.
He's working to a schedule.
There was one analyst there who was made one great call. He was an absolute former legend, but resting on his laurels. And then every other call he made was after the market had moved. We called him the late mailman.
Jeez, that was some crowbarring.
What's wrong with this bloke?
That was some crowbarring.
This bloke's got issues.
Is he going to lose his job?
Oh, massive chance. Clive, are you listening? Now,
I really hope Macquarie Bank aren't, or whoever the hell he works for, aren't listening to this podcast. And let's face it, they probably are.
Massive chance, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's quicker if we get through people who aren't listening.
Don't fire him, guys.
Now, he tweeted us tonight, and I told him that he was in godlike status, which a few tweeters agreed with. He then said...
You're an atheist, though.
Listen, technicalities.
Okay.
He then said, what sort of status do I need to hear the Viv Richards story? Now, because it's your story, I'm going to run it by you.
That sounds like almost like, I'll see a challenge. Here's another challenge.
Yeah. Now, what say, James, if you message us your phone number during the week, we will call you live on air next week.
All right.
With the Viv Richards story.
I'm game.
Right. So, James, and anyone else who can top James... Good luck. The bar's high.
The Dead Set Legends went close this week. I'll tell you what. The Dead Set Legends on Triple M on Saturday. Dan Ganane, Richard Friedman, and Ray Rabs Warren.
Love the show.
Great show. It's been going for like 20 years with a few different incarnations. Mo Matthews on there. Phil Gould's been on there as well. But at the moment, it's Dan, Richard, and Rabs. And, well, basically, who was it who sent it?
Clive.
It was Clive.
Clive, come good.
He did come good.
I think he's seeing Rosenberg coming over his shoulder.
Well, he'd gone outside for a little while.
Right.
Evidently, with this tweet that he sent.
Yeah, oddly, it looks like he's driving when he's taken this photo, and I don't want to think the amount of cocaine this bloke does that he should be driving any car.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyway. So
stay safe, people.
A tweet appeared from the at FCTTB underscore podcast and it tagged at Dead Set Legends into the tweet. And it was a photo. Well, okay, you know what? I think this grab tells the whole story.
Now, someone is sending a photo here, Rabs and Richard. Full credit to the boys is the Twitter handle. I think they do a podcast. And it is of a BMW with a New South Wales number plate, Rabs.
There you are.
Can we find out if someone knows who this person is? You are an imposter.
Well, hang on. We've got to check first that Rabs doesn't own a car like that.
That was going to be my question. Is this your car, Rabs?
No, it's not. It's not my car.
No. You wouldn't have a hairdresser's car.
You know, you've got to be careful who you call an imposter.
Imposter. Now, I'm being facetious.
He may have had the name, Rabs, nickname, long before I did. I mean, I might be the imposter.
But wouldn't you to know this man or woman is getting around, even though they mightn't mean to do this, they're getting around as you.
What worries me, Dan, is if that person who owns that car starts parking it outside, say, a brothel or something like that, you know, that would worry me that the message would soon come back to my missus and she'd be horrified to think that somebody had seen my car, allegedly my car, parked outside the Pink Pussycat or something like that.
I don't even know that that's still there.
What the names are.
What?
Is it still there?
What it's called.
I just chose that, Pink Pussycat. Is that the name of a
place? No, that was
that was a strip joint at the Cross. I don't even know if it's still there.
Okay, come on. It's a family show.
You know what I like about that hoodie?
What?
Dan pretending he doesn't know who we are.
Yeah, I think they do some sort of podcast.
And you'd hear Richard go laughing as if we know. Come on. It's not
as
even.
Dan's a mad podcaster. And we've mentioned on this and told him about it before. I guarantee he's listened to this at least once, at least for about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
He at least scrolled to the time code that we gave him, heard his name, was like, okay, I'm done.
In between his hands of poker at Star City.
We will pump up your tyres, Dan.
Anyone wants to meet Dan Ginnane, Star City, just hang out the front. He's there.
If not poker, then just watching some sport on the big screen.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Loves it. So once again, thank you to all our 5-star reviews this week. We've enjoyed all the feedback. Please keep it coming. At @FCTTB_podcast is our Twitter handle. You can find former legend at @former_legend. Pretty much just he's on Twitter all day. You can find me at Late Mailman. I at least sleep. So, you know, if I take 6 or 7 hours to get back to you, just bear with me a little bit.
Doesn't look like you slept on the weekend, but anyway.
No comment.
I've seen you in the crowd.
You can also find us on Facebook. Just search Full Credit to the Boys. We're the only ones silly enough to have such a moniker on Facebook. And we've got a website too.
If you don't really
need to see some more stuff about us.
If you want to see someone turn up on iPhone Roulette, if you've got some suggestions, tweet us at the same time you tweet them. See whether that you see if you can get a bite, and we'll do our best.
See you next week.
Goodbye.